Would y'all love on the band, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, don't lose. Praise the Lord. Love you guys very much. Again, thank you for helping me, band. Thank you for y'all being here. Morris, glad you're here, brother. Glad Morris is here. He's Morris, stand up, Morris, so everybody can just see you. See Morris back there? Now, Morris has been with us from the very beginning, and he is the elder of the church, one of them. And Morris, that's his son on the bass. And I don't know about you, but it's an honor that so many people started with us from the beginning. And it's a testament when people stay with you, because a lot of times people, you know, for whatever reason, they move. They get tired of driving. I mean, all kinds of stuff happens, and for people to stay at a church for as long as Morris, I mean, Morris had hair when he first started here. Someone, I was going to say, someone tell that to Morris a little louder. Oh, what a blessing he is to me and our church and just all the rest of you. Thank you for being here. I also want to thank people that have never been here before. It's an honor to have you. We appreciate you coming so many times. It's amazing. No one knows it, but my office is in here now. It used to be in a little old shack out there for about, you know, 17 years until here about 2 or 3 months ago, and finally got an office built. Because, see, we do everything debt-free. And so as God provides, that's why, man, we're almost done with that kids' church. Everything's done except we need some commodes and some, you know, all the stuff that, you know, sinks and, you know, place to put stuff. And we just gonna keep believing, and as God provides, we'll build it. And when we're done with it, then, we're gonna start believing for, a covered arena where we can do a lot of ministry. And everything I do is ministry. And so just having a place where you can go, and get inside rodeo wise, roping wise, play days and so on. That's a good thing. So the building part is just, it's always ongoing. How many of you know the kingdom of God, faith never stops? Amen. And so, we have to continue on. And when new people come and they pass by lots of churches, it's just an honor. So our church, we want to welcome anybody that's never been here before. Would you mind just right where you're at, just to wave your hand at us and let us just give you a round of applause. Amen. Thank you for coming. Appreciate you. Thank you guys very much. Amen. Come on, church. It's a pleasure to have you. All right, ushers, don't wait on me. Why don't y'all clap your hands for tithes and offerings, please? Now, as most of you know, except for a few of the new people, years ago the Lord told me, well, when we started, it was at the very beginning, wasn't it, Jamie? I mean, at the start when God said, don't take a salary. And I don't think it was Morris, but I remember another one of our elders at the time. He's since moved and watches and things like that. But he said, how are you going to make it? I'll never forget him saying that. How are you going to make it? And I said, well, my dad is very wealthy. Oh, Papa. My heavenly father he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, he owns it all. So if I just trust him I'm pretty sure I don't then have to beg. Me and Jamie don't have to have signs on the side of the road. We'll preach for food. I mean, we don't have to do that. We just trust Him. How many of you, look at me just for a second, how many of you would agree that He's a big enough God that He can provide for you and I? I mean, He's just that kind of a God. And so, we started trusting Him. And with that, I was able then to start teaching about finances. And I want to know, what does the Bible say about finances? In college, you know, Mom and Dad were ranchers. I mean, they were hard workers. But you have to understand, when you work for a ranch and you don't own the ranch, they give you a salary. And I'll never forget Mom and Dad, as hard as they worked. I think if I'm right, it was the Fort Stockton ranch, and they gave us a half a beef, and they gave them a house to live in, and I think $1,500 a month. That's one pair of shoes for my wife, y'all. Anybody out there? Quiet on the front row, please. She said, one pair of your boots. my dad shot horses full time. When he had finished doing whatever the ranch needed, and it was a lot, he'd go shoe horses. And then us three boys, we were still around. We would have 10 colts usually lined up, and we started them from the beginning. Usually, some of them had a little time on them. I think they might have been halter broke. Some of them usually didn't have any saddling, and so we would break them. We would start them from the beginning. We'd do everything, getting them gentled, getting them saddled. I mean, and then you know anybody's ever trained horses. One horse, he might have the mind, and you can get him to doing stuff in 30 minutes. The next horse, it'd take 2 hours to do the same thing to him. And so it was just a lot of patience. Therefore, we had to trust God. And Mom and Dad, they did whatever it took to make sure we were provided for. Well, in college, I got to digging in this Bible, and I started wondering, why do I have to have a job in college? I have to have a student loan, a Pell Grant, a music scholarship, and a full-time rodeo scholarship. And all my other friends, they had scholarships, but they didn't have to work. And so one day I got on my knees and I started digging into this Bible. What does this Bible say about finances? And most of you know, that's been here for so long, because I've said it many times, but I'm going to keep saying it over and over and over until we get what this Bible says about finances. But 2,036 times it talks about finances in some way, gold or silver or land and so on. So if God doesn't want you to have it, why would He put it in there so many times? And so I started digging into it, and I just found so many things about trusting Him. And here's one of them. Galatians chapter 5, here's what it says. Stand fast. Remember that scripture that says, when you've done all you can do to stand, stand. In other words, don't give up. We're going to be talking about some things this morning during the message, but I want to tell you, it's real easy in this season that we're in right now, or we just really ended Christmas, to see a lot of needs, a lot of hunger, a lot of pain because of lack. It's a curse, man. Having lack is a curse. So the Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You see, and then it talks about be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Bondage, when you study out lack and debt, that's bondage. And God wants us out of debt. He doesn't want us to live in the world system of continuing to borrow and borrow until we're stressed out and we can't hardly pay the stuff back. Why don't we do the opposite and start believing God? Get out of debt. I mean, to bless you financially so much that, as Malachi says, your barn can't hold all the blessing of God. Here's what it's going to take. It's going to take us believing that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This morning, when you give in that bucket, do you notice God, He doesn't make you give. Matter of fact, I pastor a lot of ministers. Ministers will come to this church, usually to get built up. Very seldom does a minister come and get offended and then leave. Every now and then you'll see that. But usually something's wrong, and that's why they're coming here, so they get built up and get right back into the true calling of the Lord, the calling that the Bible says is irrevocable. And with that said, we have to understand that you're not made to do anything. And when I tell this to pastors at ministers' conferences, sometimes it's like they don't know what to think. But did you know it? You don't have to give. You don't have to tithe by law. Did you hear me? You don't have to tithe by law. God's saying you have to do it. It's the law. No, 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 no. Since we live under grace and mercy, we get to tithe because that's the system that God called us in so that we can operate by seed, time, and harvest. And if you get into God's ways of doing things through His seed, time, and harvest method, when you're a giver, I'll show you a man that and a woman that owes no one but to love them. Amen? So let's start changing how we think about giving. That it's an honor to give to the Lord, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to get this gospel to the utter parts of the world. And when you do that, then the blessing of God, because that's seed. And when there's seed, any good farmer knows, you should always believe for the harvest. So when you sow this morning, if you're sowing, expect the harvest. Expect God, because see, it's seed. And again, a farmer that plants cotton, he doesn't think that corn's going to come forth. He knows that cotton's going to come forth. Same with finances. When you give, it'll be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Amen? So come give with a big old shout of praise. We got a special? Amen. I guess you know what mic you're using. Okay, sounds good to me. Do you need my notes here?
No.
Okay. Okay, just checking. I'm going to leave them right there then. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I got you. Yes, ma'am.
Star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving the light to those who long have gone. sending the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Give us the light to light star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won. Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star. Upon us until the glory dawns. Give us the light to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Shine on. Shine on. Oh, yeah. I loved it. Good job. I loved it. Very proud. Amen. I got your mic stand.
Thank you.
This is like the entertainment. You just go sit down.
And we have everything under control. You're the star.
Thank you.
Under Jesus. God bless you.
Thank you.
Another hug?
Okay, hug. Amen. Amen, I love it. Come on, y'all, give her a hand. Praise the Lord. All right. Youth group. Kids church. Ready? Set. With a big round of applause. Go. Out the back end. You're gone. See ya. I love it when kids run. Come on, go. Hey, by the way, I got three things that we desperately need in this church. Spread the word. If God puts it on your heart, here's three needs that we have. People come to me constantly, wanting to serve, wanting to do things in the church. And here's two things. And then the third thing is, it's a little work. The first thing we desperately need, because there's no one as of now, is someone to help run the arena ministry. And what that involves is, and it's not a lot, people think it's a lot. I mean, it could be if you wanted to grow it into, we used to do bull ridings and we used to do team ropings and things like that. We don't do those things, but we have play days. Like there's a group called Brushy Creek. I think they're out of Georgetown, right? And they come and they rent the arena and they do it themselves. And we just, I need somebody that would take that ministry and just be responsible to make sure the arena is ready. Now we have staff as Daryl and Heidi and even myself that can help show you what we do. Getting the arena prepared. We have a tractor and a drag and, you know, it just takes some time to do that. But there's no one that's really running that after Ramona felt like that her time was done doing that. And so if God puts it on your heart to want to try to help in that ministry. We have a concession stand during events. You really don't do anything during the rodeo in April because it's such an organized, it's one of the biggest, most professional rodeos that we have. We have a steer roping with it that is in honor of my dad. But we add like $30,000 to that rodeo. We have a carnival usually, hopefully that comes to pass this year. But it's a big event. You know, you're not necessarily running that part of it, but just the others, we've tried to put on a play day ourselves. We just want the thing to get used and be a ministry like. I wouldn't mind if you started a little Bible study. There's people that rent the arena and so on. And so that's a major need that we're needing right now. Here's the second thing. We desperately need a social media coordinator. Someone that just can keep things on our social media site when things are going on. I mean, promotion is a very big thing in any church. I'm a very, very big promoter. But as you know, I don't have time to be doing everything that the church is a part of. But having someone that's just the social media, keeping our website kind of up to date, but just getting things out. We have a digital billboard and getting things on the digital billboard. Now, obviously, Heidi is in charge of all the ministries, so she helps you. But that is a very big need. And here's the third one. Any of these needs, come to me. Come to Heidi and just say, hey, I want to pray about that. I believe that I can help in that area. Because there might be more than one. And if there is, praise God, we'll get it all figured out. But here's the third thing. I've been needing to do this for a long time. But as y'all know, I'm going to move the rope and chute that is on this side of the arena to the other side. It's the chute that the team ropers, the steer ropers come out of. I'm going to leave the middle chute because I'm going to probably use it still for the calf roping, the steer wrestling to come out of it. I haven't decided. I might use everything from that at the end. So it's going to take some welders helping me design, and I'm going to probably have it designed, but just getting the boxes moved from this end to that end. And what's going to happen is the reason that it's a little bit of an issue on this end is the crowd. As y'all know, during our rodeo, there's thousands of people that come. And they all sit on this one side, which scares all the animals to the left fence. And it's a very difficult thing to rope when a calf or a steer might turn a left-hand circle. So I'm going to fix that, and I'm going to put it on the other end. And the reason you do that is because the alley where they come up is on that side. So they're going to be used to staying on that fence over there. For the crowd, it's going to be the same thing. You're still going to see the whole run. It'd just be from a different angle. So in the month of February, we're going to start every single Saturday getting that prepared, because we only have until April until we have our big rodeo, and I need it. I don't want it to be a last minute deal. We also have a few other areas that we need to fix, some gates that are just we need to build a gate. It needs to be a little more secure. If a bull hits one gate on this right side at the end of the arena, you have to have it chained. Or if a bull hits it, or even a steer, that thing could pop open. And I don't know where he's at, but we've had some people in here that got in a fight with a gate. And the gate usually wins, y'all, when a bull or something hits it. And so there's a few things like that that we need to tend to. Plus, we've got to redo the stripping chute for these animals to go out, take a rope off of, and things like that on this end. So it's going to be a big deal. But with enough help, we can do it. So anybody that's a welder or just wants to help, the month of February, every Saturday, we're going to try to meet and tend to that. Amen? All right. Let's jump right into a message. I'm excited. I've been studying a lot of things because I've been preaching a lot at different places. There's so much on the inside of me that I'm going to trust the Holy Ghost. How many of you know that the Bible says when you're a born-again believer, We're to be led by the Spirit of God because we're sons, we're daughters of God. And in order to be led by Him, then I have to be quick to listen and hear what God wants to speak this morning. And I think it was about just 3 or 4 days ago, the Lord started dealing with me in an area that I want to minister on this morning. And I want to start it off with a question. Here's the question. Are you tired? Are you tired? I remember doing a Facebook post about being tired. I probably had thousands and thousands of views on a video message about being tired. You see, we're living in a very chaotic world. I mean, it's crazy. The things that are going on today are wild. I mean, you can't even go to a football game unless you have met the requirements. We went into Olive Garden last night, and as a family, I believe in following the rules. I believe in obeying the laws of the land. But I got to be honest with you. I don't believe in all this mask wearing stuff right now. I'm not saying, now listen to me, wait. I'm not saying if you have some issues and you need to wear it, then you need to wear it. But what I think has happened, and this is all very demonic. If you study this virus, it's very, very demonic. Because what it's done is it's caused a separation. It's caused control to come in from a government that is telling us how to operate. We can't work a lot of times in some states. I mean, and just look around. Look around. There are businesses after business after business that are folding. I tried to go to Fuddruckers the other day in Austin. It's shut down. Someone told me, I think it was Mom, that a lot of the fast food chains are closing down. You're seeing a lot of businesses that, I mean, in New York and California, they are fighting back because, I mean, they're still locked down. So the point is there's a lot of things that are going on in this world that are flat making believers tired. We're being bombarded with negative things that just affect one's body. The reason that I think we should not have to wear a mask, and what I was going to say about Olive Garden is so Jamie goes in and she says, I'm not putting on the mask until they make me. I say, you go, girl. Because I find it amazing that virus only operates when you walk, but not when you sit down. My. And then social distancing. What has it done? Is it's caused people to have our immune systems totally done with. I mean, people, that's why you're getting sick more today, is because we have a mask and we have this social distancing where you can't be around anybody. And as any doctor would tell you, that's what passes viruses. That's what, if when you keep a good immune system up, then you don't have to be in fear. But now, the church, the reason that the enemy is attacking the church is because what do we preach? We preach faith. And we're against fear. Because when fear comes in, then that's when you could possibly get sick and die. But when you have faith, and some sickness tries to get on you, if you speak to that mountain of sickness and disease, and command it to be cast into the sea and not doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say was going to come to pass, the Bible says you'll have whatsoever you saith. So why wouldn't we as Christians and believers start saying what the Word of God says, that we're healed by Jesus' stripes, that Psalms 91 says no plague or virus shall come near our bodies? But what's happening is, since believers are getting so tired, they're getting give out, They're seeing and they're feeling and they're doing the five physical senses. They're seeing all this stuff. It causes one, if you're not mature in the Word of God, to not believe this Word. You start getting moved by your five physical senses. When you and I as a believer need to get moved by the Word of God and the Word of God only. Now say amen to that. Because someone's going to have to get ticked off. Do you realize the Bible says to be angry, but sin not? It's okay to be angry. The problem with anger is when you cause it to go over into sin. But when you're angry at the devil for trying to separate you and I, to try to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy, when you've got a devil that, man, you can't even sit next to someone at a football game, then something is wrong. Because where there's assembly, where we're together in agreement, praise God, when I'm agreeing with my brother Dallas, when I'm agreeing with all these other believers in Jesus Christ, I'm telling you there's power. And where there is power, there's no foe, no devil that can stand. You and I are just going to have to get into this book and start believing and get a backbone. That's why God is using the cowboy world. Because the cowboy world is a bunch of bold. We're a culture of people that are still bold. And we have not let feminism jump in and make men into women and women into men. I'm starting to preach. I heard you. Now don't get me wrong, don't you dare go to an area we gotta love. Yes, we do. That's the biggest characteristics of a believer is love. But not giving in. Not giving in to Babylon. Not giving in to the old man. Not living by the world's ways of doing things. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We live in this world, but we do not live of this world. And it's going to take a bunch of bold people to stand on this word. When y'all go to college, you're going to have to be standing on the firm ground of faith. Because when some of our great kids go to college, man, they are bombarded with negative stuff. Unbelieving. I knew one minister had a daughter. She was in the praise team. She was just fired up for God. Went to college. 4 years later, came home, told her family she didn't believe in God anymore. Because of the bombardment in the mind. And what is it designed to do? Get you tired. So we're fixing to get fired up. And what is this virus doing, by the way? And I know, did you know we've never, even with the largest rodeo we've ever had in the month of June, right in the midst of that virus. And even now, with so many people that are coming to church, and I know lots of them are out of town, so usually this place is packed. Do you realize that we've never had an outbreak? I'm not saying people in the church hadn't got the virus, but we have a rule. If you're sick, stay home. The reason is because we've got to believe. Because the enemy is trying to get us so tired that we give in. We give in and we lose our freedoms. And we can't do that. So let's get fired up this morning. Y'all ready? So what do you do when you're tired? I'm glad you asked. I want you to flip over to Psalms. Psalms chapter 121. The book of Psalm. If you're not used to bringing a Bible to church, I want you to get used to it. If you haven't ever bought a Bible, then you need to. If it's still on your coffee table, I want you to get it, and I want you to clean it up, and I want you to start bringing it to church. If I was you, I would get a Bible that I preach out of, because then you can follow along a lot better. And it's a side-by-side Bible. You can find it on the internet. You can go to Mardell's and buy it. It's a side-by-side. Some of them call it a parallel. I have one side of the King James. I just personally like the King James because that's how I was raised. I was raised on the oldest, oldest example of the Word of God that just hasn't failed. It's tested the time. But I understand that it's a lot of times the King James is hard to understand with the these, thous, and thuses. So beside it, I have the Amplified Version. And it really amplifies the words in the King James, and it helps. So that's what I use, and I just advise you, if you're a member of this church, get that kind of a Bible. And then the others that minister to you, you can have them as well. It doesn't matter. But that'll just help you follow along. What do you do when you're tired? I want you to read Psalms 121, because a lot of times when we're give out, there's several scriptures that we can go to and we can stand on them. And look what Psalms 121 says. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, for whence comes my help. That's the King James. Now look at it in the Amplified. I will lift up my eyes to the hills around Jerusalem, to sacred Mount Zion, to Mount Moriah, from whence, and they're asking a question, shall my help come? My help then, and he answers it, right? Verse 2, look at this. My help comes from the Lord. Did you notice it didn't say help comes from the preacher? Help comes from the local body of believers? I mean, you can have some help in agreement, but really the source of your help has to be what? The Lord. Okay? So it answers it and it says, my help comes from the Lord who made what? Heaven and earth. So if we recognize when we're getting tired and we're getting give out, and when a virus is, because again, I was going to say it earlier, what does a virus do? This virus, you've heard it from a lot of people, it wears you out. You have no energy, right? When you don't have energy, it's even hard to you know, open your Bible. It's hard to pray. I mean, you might say, oh God, help me type prayer, but getting into prayer, ooh, man, it's hard to do when you just don't feel good. Why? Because we're moved a lot of times by our feelings. And you and I, in order to overcome that, we need to be moved by the Word of God. We need to be moved by our source. And you and I, and our source is Jesus. Say amen to that. So it goes on to say, He will not allow your foot to slip or to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, I kind of like that. Say amen to that. You know what that means, right? He's not sleeping. Matter of fact, he already knows your need. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I'll meet your need according to my riches and glory. That's what, I mean, the need is already taken care of. Now the want, you might be believing for some wants. But if you have needs, the Bible says God meets your need according to His riches and glory by Christ. Amen? Okay, so He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He's constantly ready to do whatever you ask Him to do, as long as it lines up with this Word, right? I mean, He's ready. He's ready to send angels, ministering angels, to come and minister to you. All you've got to do is ask. Remember the Bible says if you ask not, you'll have not. There's something about asking and saying, God, I thank you, Lord, that today I expect. This is what's on the billboard now. I just put it on there. I expect good things to happen to me today. I pray that a lot in the morning. You see, the enemy's trying to get you tired. But man, this is a scripture that you need to stand on. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, you might say, okay, praise the Lord for that, but what if I'm feeling spiritually tired? Now, I'm not just physically, because a lot of times we are so give out that again, we don't feel like communicating with our spouses. We don't feel like tending to our children that need some discipline. It's easier for the teacher to do it. I remember one time, oh, that wasn't my family. Being a good kid like I am. I mean, was when I was growing up. We had to ride the bus. Has anybody ever had to ride the bus before to school? Bless y'all's heart. There's a lot of you.
Like me.
Well, the bus was a good opportunity to get in trouble in Odessa. And if you get three bus reports, you got kicked off the bus for 3 days. I got three. When I get home, my mom finds out about it. I'm telling you. Have I ever told y'all that they did an article on me in a magazine, asked me what I was afraid of the most, and I said my mom? I'll never forget that, because my brothers go, "Hey, mom's upset." I said, "Why?" "Because you told the whole world that you're afraid of mom and she's mean and beats you." No, that wasn't it at all. I was just had so much respect, but that if she said something, it was going to happen. And if she said you're going to get a butt whipping, it happened. So she did it. And then when Dad gets home, guess what happened? He did it. But when you got in Odessa, this is where we was living, when you got that third bus report, not only did you get kicked off the bus, but you got the paddle. Does anybody remember the paddle? Kids, do y'all remember the paddle? Heck no, because they don't do it anymore. I'm talking the paddle with holes in it. I knew after I'd just gotten a whooping by mom and dad that I was getting it the next morning, so I devised a plan. I put magazines down. I wore my brother's pants. I'm the youngest. And I put magazines down my pants because I knew that son of a gun. And three, paddle, papa. So I was ready. Corey, come to the office. Not a problem. Bend over. So I did. Well, the problem was is when that paddle hit those pads, it sounded like an atomic bomb. Papa! And he goes, "What's in your pants?" "Don't worry about it, just whip." He made me pull them out. And then he said, "Pull down your pants, we're going to do it bare booty." Does anybody remember that day? How things have changed. Oh, gosh. I never got in trouble on the bus ever again, did I, Mom? I learned my lesson. You see, the point is we're not just talking about a physical tiring, getting in trouble. But what about a spiritual and emotional tiring? Again, you've got to go to the Word of God. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 40. And let's look what God says in the book of Isaiah about rest and being tired. And these are good things to go to when you feel like you're just flat give out and you want to give in. Man, we can't do that. Look at this. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. It says, "But they," who's that talking about, by the way? You and I that's give out, that's tired. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." How many of you know we need strength today? "Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I don't know about y'all, but the enemy's trying to get us wore down. And today is the day that we get built back up. We light that fire like we've never let it be lighted before. Is that how you say it? You know what I mean, right? Thank the Lord. I was looking for a story in the Bible, and the Lord took me to Jehoshaphat. You remember that story? Jehoshaphat? I mean, here's some armies come against him. You see at the very first part of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, where two armies are coming against him and his little group of people, believers in Jesus Christ. I mean, you'll find out later that there was a third army, and they came together, and they're coming against him. You know what he immediately does? Because again, here's a huge three armies surrounding Jehoshaphat and his army, little small group of people, and all they're designed to do is wear him down. You know the story probably where he gathers his people in Judah, They come together to seek the Lord and they begin to fast. He prayed, God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of the land? God says, well, yeah, but I gave you the descendants of Abraham. And he says this, God says, as they were seeking him and they were fasting, he says, if calamity comes, or the sword comes with fighting, or a plague comes, you hear that? Or a plague comes, or a COVID-19 comes, or famine, we will cry to you, God. You'll hear us, and God says, and you'll be saved. So that's what they did. But they got tired. You see it as you read verse 1 on down to about verse 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And you find out in verse 12, they get tired. Look at what it says in verse 12. It says, O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. You see, he was so smart. Even though he was give out, wore down, worried about what's going to happen. Here's a massive army, three of them surrounding this man. And what did he do? He began to not be afraid. Verse 15 says, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go and face them, the Lord says, and he'll be with you. In verse 20, 21 was the most important thing that they did, because here's the army come. They're surrounding. You know what Jehoshaphat begins to do? He's already fasted. He's already fasted and he wants to seek the Lord. Father, what do we do? We've got to trust in you. The enemy, on the other hand, is trying to wear him down. Wear him and his little group down. And what did he do? You see it. You see it down in verse 21. They started to sing. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. 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 And he just began to sing. Praise the Lord. Sing it. For his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And they just sang, praise the Lord. You see, all they were doing is they were getting their mind off of the battle. They were getting their mind off of being tired. They were getting their mind off of the attacks of the enemy. And they got it on the Lord. And they began to sing praises to him. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You know what happened? Most of you that read the story, you know that the army gets confused. All three of them start battling each other. They get so confused that here's Jehoshaphat. He just sits back with his feet crossed, man. Father, you just get him. You know what? Because he served the Lord, he didn't allow the tiredness, the battle to cause him to be defeated. No, no, no. He kept his eyes on the one that could get him out of this mess. And God turned it on the all these people. The Moabs. Ammon. All these people that came against them, man. They just killed each other. And guess what else happened, though? Because of Jehoshaphat's faithfulness, not only did they kill each other, but then God said, hey, go get the spoil. All their possessions. They don't need it anymore. They die. They gone. It took him 3 days to get all the spoil. You see, if you just keep your eyes on the Lord, If you don't allow the busyness and the tiredness of this world overtake you, and you keep your eyes on the Creator, the one that has a name above every name, I'm telling you, that tired spirit, that spirit of disconcernment, discontentment, all the things that are trying to get you down, I'm telling you, you'll be the overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You'll be the one that conquers. And you'll be not the victim. You'll be the victor, praise God. You'll be the one that speaks to that mountain with some authority. You'll be the one that stands right in the midst of the battle, man. Why? Because your God will save you. The thing is it's time to get our eyes on Him. Because I realize we're tired. We're tired of this mess. A lot of times people will say, Father, I'm ready to go home. Get away from all this junk that's going on in this world. You know what God needs, though? The reason that you're still living today is because you're the people that He created to live in this time in the midst of the battle. Because you're the ones that will not back away. Yeah, maybe there will be some that back away from the faith. The Bible says that in the last days that will happen. But not you. You are the people that God has commissioned to stand guard. The ones that haven't been praying, finally get this urge and tenacity and excitement to get into prayer with God so you can hear His still small voice. God has created you that has given you the gifts to prophesy, which means to build up and to edify. God's given you the ability to go and evangelize the uttermost parts of the world. God's called you to stand and be the man of God, the husband of God that you're called to be in Jesus' name. God has called you to stand at guard and protect even the weak ones that maybe their faith is still growing up. Just the word that you can speak to someone to build them up and edify them and exhort them. That's what they need. They need the man of God. They need women of God who's not afraid to go out like Mary did and tell all the people that Jesus is coming back. You know, see, God's trying to get us to move. The devil's trying to get us to give out. But today, we're going to stand on one more scripture and then I'll close. One more scripture when you're give out and you're tired that we desperately need today. And it's found in the New Testament. I want you to turn there real fast. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel chapter 11. And let's all look at this and let's all stand on this, because no matter what the enemy is trying to do, we're going to understand that he's already defeated. Say amen to that. It's time to get excited. It's time to know that your God will, your the God that wrote this word, it does not return void. It will work for a believer that would just dare to believe it. The lines of people that come up here and get prayed over, the reason that God is moving in this church so much in these last days, in the last few months, when the Spirit of God is moving more and more, it's because God is trying to cause us, as the man of God spoke, Chip Brim, not very long ago, to not just stand up, but rise up. To come to another level. To come on up a little bit higher, praise God. Instead of just being the same old amens and hallelujahs, it's time that we see signs and wonders, because you and I are believers. And the Bible tells us, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then these signs shall follow them that believe. And when people get saved in this place, which is amazing, man, I can't tell you. Churches, they know of this church. Other pastors know of this church. People that watch, they watch because they're amazed at how many people give their lives to Jesus at this church. I went to churches growing up that if you had 10 in the whole year, we celebrated. Well, we might have that in one service. Why? Well, because the harvest is ripe. I do pastor very evangelistic. Don't be upset about that. Someone not very long ago, Well, never mind. Who cares? Ain't going there. There's always going to be someone tear you down, but not God. God always builds you up. Matthew chapter 11. Look at this. Jesus is saying it himself. Ready? This is our last thing we're going to stand on, because I'm telling you, we're not going to be tired any longer. If you ride the Peloton, you will not get tired. Well, as you ride it, you are tired. Never mind. You give out. I mean, and the girl, this, it was Friday. She might have been demon possessed. And I was speaking to that devil as she's saying, come on, get up. Turn it up. Turn it up. It's the higher the resistance, it's a steeper climb. You can do it. And I'm, stay at 60 cadence. I'm like at 34. And I'm above 50 resistance. And I'm going, and I'm sweating. And the enemy's saying, sit down. Because they want you to stand up and like you're going uphill, man. No, I don't want to. In the name of Jesus, legs, stop cramping. I mean, sweat flying, man. But you know what? She said this, and then I knew she wasn't demon possessed. She said, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. And so I said it. You know, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm about to die. Right? It's over. Mama, keep whooping Seth. This might be it for me. But I spoke it. I said, I can do it. And it's like a burst of energy, man. And I finished the 20-minute ride. No. I wanted to quit at 8 minutes. But you know what?
There's something about
not giving up. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me. Who's talking, by the way? Say it again. Who's talking?
Jesus.
It's in red. I like that part. Jesus himself is saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Look at the Amplified. Overburdened. And then he says this. Ready? I will cause you rest. Oh, he says, I'll cause you rest. Just come to me. You see, what do we normally do, though? We go to the banker first. I love bankers. Don't be mad at me, bankers. No, but why don't we go to God first? Come to me. Instead of, as a kid, you shoot to your parents. Well, no, I want to teach my daughter and my son. Well, no, I want you to go to God first. And then come to us, and we'll give you some wisdom. But he's the ultimate source that you've got to start learning to go to. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is the Amplified. And I'm gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart. And you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. Oh, glory be to God. Verse 30. For my yoke is wholesome. It's useful. It's good. It's not harsh. It's not hard. It's not sharp. It's not pressing, but it's comfortable. It's gracious. It's pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. That's what I need. People say, shoot, I'd like to be a pastor. Got 400 people here. they all came. I think we have about 800 members, maybe plus. Some come and go. Rodeo people, they're rodeoing right now, or they're at the barrel race or whatever. So if everybody come at once, yeah, I wish I was the pastor. All those people, oh, I bet that money comes in. Boy, I bet he's successful. You're right, because I am. You know why? Because he's my source. But don't you think for one minute there's not pressure. Someone getting upset. Thank God for our ushers. Shake your hand and welcome you. The people of this church that are so quick to just love on you. Because see, if our heart's right, we'll never be offended. But offense wears the body down. I don't like how you did that. I've had people come in, they didn't like how I run the church. All that's designed to do is the enemy saying, I change. No, I think we're doing pretty good, don't y'all? But yet, I still want to be led by the Spirit of God, because I don't want to stay in one place. I don't want to get stagnant. Y'all know what water that's stagnant does, right? King James, stinketh. Stinketh. No, I want that water moving, man. But when people get saved, water moves. When people get healed, water moves. When people get set free, water moves. When people get whole, water is moving. So this morning, maybe you are tired. Maybe you're give out. It's time to get the wood fired back up. Amen? So here's what we're going to do real fast. Just before I pray, and this morning is going to be a great opportunity to join our church. We'll do that here in just a little bit. People come for the first time and say, it's the church that I want to be a part of. And God just, some people, they pray for a while. And that's good. I want you to know that this is where you're supposed to be. But listen to me. Being tired in these last days is the trick of the enemy. And when you give out spiritually, emotionally, and physically, that's when the enemy attacks. That's when he attacks marriages. That's when he tries to put sickness and disease on someone. But man, when you're fired up, what does the Bible say? The fiery darts try to come and just bounce right off. So if you're give out and you've been tired, I understand, because I have. I want to pray for you. So if that's you, I want you to come right here. Just come on. You'll have to get up by faith. Start me some music, please. You just been give out. I want you to just come and fill up this altar. We're just going to pray. Just been give out. Usually the more spiritual minded type people are the ones that get give out. Because man, they're doing some work in the kingdom. They're the intercessors. They're the ones that are praying for their families. I mean, just God's got them constantly. But you're give out. You come here right now, please. Don't miss this. You just come on down and let's just build you up. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just bow your head. Just begin to praise Him right now. Your mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All you people out there, would you stretch your hands towards all these people? Now listen, look at me just real fast, y'all, that are down here. Give me some ushers. Come up here, please. Let's believe this, that when I lay hands on you, I'm going to be in agreement that when I touch you, the Word says, man, when you're in agreement, when there's two or more that you agree is touching, ooh, Jesus, there's power. Ushers, just stay back just a little bit. You don't have to touch them. Let's be in agreement that when I lay hands on you, I mean just a burst of the power of God. Okay? Now, the reason that I don't want your hands folded like this is when you do this, this is a sign of surrender and nothing other. Okay? When we do this, I surrender to you, sir. Thank you. Okay? And when I touch you, you say, well, I agree with that. I believe that. I receive that in Jesus' name. Amen? Father, I thank you, Lord. The tiredness is gone. In Jesus' name. Father, fill her up. Give it to her in Jesus' name. I rebuke any devil that's attacking this woman now in Jesus' name. Father, receive it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. No more spirit of give up. Fire up in Jesus' name. Come on. Give up. Come on. You can do it. Come on. You got it. You got it. Come on. Come on. Get fired up. Get fired up, man. Get fired up. Come on. Get fired up. Praise God. You can do it. Come on. Don't let that devil keep you down any longer. No, sir. Come on, man. You can do it. You got that attitude. You're not giving up. Everybody else may be coming against you that is the closest to you. But when you stand, that's where the power is. And eventually, they're going to come to your side. You just got to keep standing. Amen? Praise God. Come on. You got it. I receive that in Jesus' name. Say it. Ooh, Jesus. Come on. Oh, glory be to God. Come on. Fire it up. Fire up. In Jesus' name. Fire up. Come on. Receive it. In Jesus' name. Come on, you can do it. Ooh, Jesus, come on. Come on, fire up. Fire up. The good fight of faith. Come on. Yoke. Glory be to God. Come on, you can do it. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, receive it. Get fired up. That devil ain't going to kill you. I speak life over you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, give it to her. Oh, she's so precious in your sight, sir. Fire her up. Come on, you can do it. We're not giving up. We're not giving up. Amen? Now, all of you say, hallelujah. Come on. Come on, y'all. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. Everybody at the sound of my voice, even if you're watching, I want you to go to a place called heaven and not hell. There's no reason to go to hell. People try to put us there all the time. There's no reason. I remember a friend minister named Jesse Duplantis. He did a whole message about what in hell do you want? It ain't a good place. There's no reason to go there. Amen. So everybody bow your head and close your eyes. We're going to pray a prayer. If you're here this morning and you never met Jesus, you've never received Him as Lord, you don't know if you go to heaven or hell when you leave this earth and die. There's only one way to get to heaven according to John's Gospel, and that's through Jesus. That's why God sent Him, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him, Jesus, will not perish. You will have everlasting life. Listen to me. You'll also have everlasting life in hell if you go there. You never die. The Bible says you'll keep your five physical senses even in hell. It's a terrible place. Wow. Please don't choose that. No, choose heaven. There's a mansion Jesus has prepared for you. Not a trailer house. A mansion. Glory be to God. But it's all by Jesus. So we're going to pray that right now. We're going to pray Romans 10:9. You ready? I'm going to ask all the believers in here to pray this prayer as well. And let's all pray it out loud. You ready? Let's say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. This day is my God day because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. I need you, sir. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, what I want you to do is not come down to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I can promise you that. Right where you're sitting, right where you're at. By the way, if you're watching, man, you ought to share this. You ought to start sharing it. All you that are here, you ought to go to our website, wccowboychurch.org, and share these messages on Facebook Live or however it's being broadcast. But if you're there watching, if you just gave your life to Jesus, please tell somebody. Tell us. Write us a special message. You can do that on Messenger. No one sees it. But if you're here in this audience and you just gave your life to Jesus, when I count to three, I want you to be bold. And I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, I meant that prayer. I'm coming to heaven when I die. Jesus is now the Lord of my life. And don't be ashamed of that. So when I say three, get that hand up with boldness. Ready? One, two, three, go. Praise God. All right, look at me. There wasn't one single person here. And I every now and then that happens. But when we have a heart to see people saved and tell them they're going to see a world champion fiddle player, just get them here. And then he better show up. He may be watching. Did y'all have a good time? Okay, real fast. If you've been believing God that this is a church that you want to join, I've been needing to do this for about a month and a half. You've never joined here before, but again, you've prayed or you're here and you just feel the witness. This is where I'm supposed to plant. Where you're planted is where you grow. If this is not supposed to be your church, you need to go find a good Bible-believing church where you can plant. Because again, I want you to grow spiritually. So if you've never joined our church, we'll do this real fast. I just want to lay hands on you. I want to tell you that we're going to make a covenant together. And if that's you, come on down and I want you to join this morning. Come on. Yeah. You've never joined before. There's been people come for a long time that's never joined, but you come on. Amen. Amen. And I'll try to do this next week. People that are out of town, I'll do it next week because there's so many people that, y'all come in like a family. There's so many people that, good. Yeah, let's face that way. I like that. I want everybody to see you. See. It's an honor to have you. It's an honor. I'm glad y'all are joining because we spend a lot of money with you. You don't drink or anything, right? Because she comes home and there's different colors on her fingernails. I mean, it's like, appreciate y'all so much. Listen to me. What we do at this church is joining. I don't make it a huge, huge deal in the fact that I was raised in a church where, you know, you got voted in. All in favor? Say aye. And then they would say all oppose. And I always wondered if someone would oppose. What do you do when they oppose? So I figured that if you got voted in, you could probably get voted out. So we don't do that. You're a member of this church and it's an honor to have you. So what we do is we make a covenant. The covenant is a promise. This is what we do for you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to help you any way we possibly can. We're going to preach from that word. Now, I'm not saying we won't make mistakes. I don't know of a single church ever that doesn't make a mistake, or even a preacher. But I'm here to tell you our hearts are right. And that's the covenant. We'll help you any way we can. What I want from y'all is a covenant of you come. Come and be a part. If God opens the door of ministry of some type, I want you to allow God to open that door. Amen? Don't open it for Him. But trust me, He wants to use you in a mighty way. So would y'all just stretch your hands towards these precious people? Father, we receive this couple. Thank you. Thank you, sir, for sending them in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Lord. We just receive this precious girl. God, bless her. Use her in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord, for this family. God, world's tried to wear them down. They're not quitters. They're believers, and it's an honor that we receive them by faith. Thank you, Lord, for this family. God, that means so much to us. We receive them by faith. Now, Father, cause the explosion in all areas to happen to them. Y'all receive that? Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We receive this family. We receive these two and all their family. We love them. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for using them. We receive them as joining. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for mature believers. God, we need that, sir. Any church needs it. Thank you, sir. They're so slow to speak and so swift to hear. God, we need that wisdom, sir. So, Father, use them. In Jesus' name. And I mean it. I mean it. Amen. All right. All right, y'all stand to your feet. No. Yeah, you can't leave. All right, listen, class. There's more people on this side, so we're going to start on this side. Did y'all hear that? Y'all got to just come real fast. During the prayer, if you want to come and get first in line, you be smart. We're going to come. Hey, listen to me. Here's the rules. We don't tell lots of stories. Just love on them. Say it's an honor to have you in the family of Williamson County Cowboy Church. Amen? And just go by, and I want you to welcome these people, and it's an honor to have you. Amen? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a great time this morning. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're not give out tired. We're fired up so that we can continue to move in the kingdom of God. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for setting the captives free, so that we can go out of this place and move in the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.